Rodeo Funeral Home, yes, more. Before I want to recognize Sherry Stevens. Sherry? Sherry was here last week, and she came back this week. Did you see her today?
Yes, and Rod also.
And Rod was here about 3 weeks ago, and he came back. Sherry told me she was looking for a job, and I prayed with her, and she told me she got a job offer. She got two more that are in the mix.
Amen. So,
Jack, what's the company? Rod? The funeral home, but
Grove
Hill,
H-I-L-L. It's in the paper today, Jack.
In the paper?
Yeah.
Okay, well, who wants to be first?
I'll be first.
Well, if people need to be there, I want to keep it where you can videotape this. Here comes Paul. Paul, you want to be down on the floor?
I call him that.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am just like most of you, and I heard the news just I shouted to Carnie,
what?
Just like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm blessed. Very, very blessed to have known Dr. Jim Bryant. My wife and I came here back in 1980 and met quite a number of people whose lives have impacted our lives in dramatic ways. Like Dr. Bryant. First one that I met was at Dallas Seminary in a class with a man by the name of Robert Rome, who was Zig Ziglar's class pastor. And I was sharing with him with poor boys, and we had a wonderful church fellowship in Garland, but the boys weren't excited about the Sunday school class. So he said they would be in the First Baptist. I said, no. And we decided to come back in 81, 82 and sit in the balcony and watch Dr. Criswell. Yeah. And I said, this is the place. Never regretted it. The poor boys. Mm-hmm. And over those years, as I got to know Dr. Criswell, I got to know others, including Dr. Bryant. So many men at Dallas Seminary. I was reflecting how many men I've known since I came to Dallas, whose lives awesome. Like one of my favorite men, Dr. Hendricks. Dr. Pentecost, who just went to be with the Lord recently. And I could go on and on. But now Dr. Bryant. I was listening to David Jeremiah a few days ago talking about the Christian armor we find in Ephesians. But he was talking about the belt of truth. And he was illustrating that. He's one of my favorite Bible teachers, guy like Johnson Ball, the pastor. And he referenced a passage in 2 Timothy 1:5 where Paul is speaking or writing to Timothy, and he uses the word, when I remember your sincere faith. And then as David Jeremiah has a gift of illustrations, like many others I love, he talked about the word came from a use of pottery back in the Far East. These people who made pottery and they had to put this thing in a furnace, but sometimes it would come out crack, but no one would see the crack unless you were a potter yourself. So they would put wax to cover the crack. So if you knew the games they played and you held up this pottery to the light, then you would see the crack. So, Jeremiah was saying, that's what our faith should be, without wax. When we hold up our faith, when our God examines us or others, there shouldn't be a crack there. So the word, and I love my Greek, and I went back and looked up some words. Anopokritos. Anopokritos. An means without hypocrisy. That's not the word. Sincere faith. Without hypocrisy. And that only comes in that process of time. When we came to Christ, He gave us salvation, that was the beginning. But this transformation that takes place. So I come to say this is a man who has impacted my life. Well, you know, I'm going to finish quickly. You don't live in a vacuum. All of life is lived in context of relationships. So Paul there, when he talked to Timothy about this sincere, genuine, unfeigned faith, he said, which was first observed in your mother and your grandmother. Relationships. It's a very, very important word for me now as I write a book about relationships. Three elements, and I'll finish. This is Dr. Brandt. When I examine as best as I could at others, what is this sincere faith? When you hold it up to the light, what do you see in context of relationships? I believe that God gave me privilege 20 years ago when I met my first boy, this H2O principle, the horizontal is honesty. Dr. Brandt was an honest man in his relationship with us, with his wife. Mm-hmm. Honesty. The next page, I use that word formula, humility. I met a man that one of the reasons why I loved Dr. Brandt was his humble spirit. And I'm convinced that relationships is only complete in pleasing God with the O H door when it's lived in obedience. He always sends us back to this word. So as long as I live, this man, I treasure the memories. Man who lived in the context of relationships.
Thank you, Paul. Who wants to be next? Wait.
Dear people, we're so fortunate to have Dr. Brian.
Thank you.
Open the Word of God with him. So faithful a man. So faithful to the Scripture. I can recall my mother sitting me on the family table, putting my shoes on my feet, combing my hair, taking me to church, Sunday school. Third grade, one of our school teachers gave us Gideon's New Testament. Sixth grade, an attorney teaching Sunday school gave us the Old and New Testament of Gideon's. Israel went to bondage in Egypt for their sins of idolatry. God took them there and they became slaves, performed it 30 years as punishment. He had Moses bring them out. They sinned again in idolatry. They spent another 40 years in the wilderness. And then here comes Joshua to lead them into the promised land, the land of promise, the land of milk and of honey. And this is the word he gave to Israel as a nation. This book of the law, it shall not depart from your mouth. That means it shall not come out of your mind or out of your heart or out of your life. But you shall meditate. That's a word like a sheep grazing in the field or the cat re-chewing the cud over and over and over again to get its nourishment and its meaning for life. But you shall meditate day and night, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success in life. That is Joshua 1 and 8.
And here comes Helen now. You better get some female input here. You other girls be thinking about what the hell to put you down.
Well, Dr. Bryant was special to me. About 3 years ago, I was in the hospital, and he and Ruby came to see me. I told him I just didn't have any peace in my heart. And so he helped me to get that peace in my heart. And on a lighter note, we had a contest in here several years ago, and we had names of people in the church who were not in Sunday school. And we had a contest, and I called my list first. So Dr. Bryant had Robbie and me and Dr. and Mrs. Brunson over to his house, and he cooked chili for us. And he was a good cook. So those are just my quick thoughts.
Well, this past Wednesday was not one of the best days of the year for me. I had come from the doctor's office and been told that it's summertime and I had another stone that we would have to operate on. Don't worry though, it's just a big day surgery, Dr. Perry. But anyhow, I came to church. I was so proud of myself. I'd rescued some barbecue and would have something waiting for Maxine when she got here. And one of the greeters came over to me and said, you're real good friends with Jim Bryant, aren't you? And I said, yeah. And I said, he's my Sunday school teacher. And she said, well, did you get the email? And I said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And she said, well, here is the email. And she opened up, you know, I love these people. It's got all this equipment, you know, computers, notebooks, telephones, you know, and everything. So she opened up her notebook, and it was an email from Alan's office. It said Dr. Bryant had passed away. It just floored me. All the reports that I had heard, in fact, I had deliberately stayed away because I wanted him to have time to rest. I'd seen him right before the surgery. I'd heard so many good reports about how he was doing. But I caught Dwayne. We were just going into prayer meeting on Wednesday night and told him what had happened. Called Maxine. She didn't know if she wanted to come or if she wanted just to go on home and go to bed. But I want to tell you, Wednesday night, you would have seen what a jewel we had in a teacher. I think a lot of people, I know Dwayne, you were here Wednesday night. It was quiet. Y'all were here, the players were here. It was, as the word spread throughout the congregation, it was quiet. It was deathly quiet when they announced that Dr. Bryant had gone to glory. We had a real jewel in him, scholar, teacher, friend, and I'm going to miss him greatly. But like Jack says, it'll go on. God's got something good in store for us. But I wanted you to know that the church knew that we had somebody very special. And we knew it because we saw him all the time. But what a man of God we had.
who, by the way, like me, hungered and thirst for revival every day. Here comes Dorothy.
On Tuesday night, I wrote an email to Dr. Bryan, and I said, "Hello, Prof. How's the healing process coming along?" And I wrote a few encouraging words on the Bible verse, and I told him how my boys were crying, and oh, you could have heard the other one's prayer last night. I was trying to make fun of it, and sent the email. The next day, Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock, he wrote up a lengthy response, described every little thing that he was doing. Oh, I do exercise 10 minutes at a time, 3 times a day, and I do this at social time. Then in the afternoon, I do this and I do this. Every paragraph has something different. And then at the end, he said, "Do the boys have email so I can write them special emails?" So I said, "Okay, I read that." And I thought, "Okay, when I get home, I'm going to take time and write that back to him, and so I can even write some more interesting things to distract him." On my way home, I decided to stop somewhere, and I called my husband and I said, "Well, this is taking a bit long. I need to go to choir rehearsal after this. You and the boys can go and find something you need, blah, blah." As soon as I hung up, the phone rang and it was Winnie. And as soon as I said, "Hello, Winnie," "Well, how did you know my voice?" I said, "Well, yeah, I know you." So she just started to announce the problems, and I couldn't hold it. I lost it at that time. And I said, "No way, that can happen." But yes, in times like this, we see that the Lord God is in charge. He is in charge of life. This class really prayed. We all prayed for Dr. Bryan's healing corporately and individually and in homes and families, but the Lord had his own time for him. We can all cry. Some of us have really been weak and feeling like it's not true, but yeah, it's true. The Lord tells us in Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, "For my ways are not your ways, neither are your thoughts my thoughts, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we were wishing that our teacher would get well and come back to pick another book of the Bible and take us through like he has always done. But the Lord's thoughts and ways were different. So we'll just cry and wipe our tears and get ready for another teacher that he will choose for us. Let's stay strong. Just keep this class growing.
Thank you, Dorothy. That's very sweet of you. She sent me a copy of that email, and I suggested she go up and tell the class, and she did such a beautiful job. Thank you, dear.
Well, like me, I think it seemed to me that Dr. Bryant knew most of the big names in the Christian community. But I also know that he was as impactful as any one of those. And did you notice how so many of those leaders would come to him and ask for his research, his recall, his study, to help them write books or to do a study on what he was doing on Criswell College right now? So we had quite an impressive person right here, but in a humble man. When Bob and I came to this class, we were not young, and we'd been in Sunday school and Bible studies our whole life, but never had we been impacted and touched by a teacher like we were Dr. Bryant. I loved the way he brought the scriptures, the way he opened that beautiful book and gave us insight into not only the words and his study, but from his heart. Then you just loved it when he'd take a personal event and segue right into his lesson every day, every time he taught. I love how he loved Ruby. He would say, I love Jesus and I love Ruby. That's big company to be in, Ruby. And he met it. He put you right up there with him. Do you think it was an accident a few weeks ago when we got to hear Dr. Bryant one last time? We didn't have a teacher at the last minute. And he and Ruby were here, even though he was on leave in preparation for his surgery. He stepped right up here and gave the most beautiful lesson that he said he'd given before, and that he had in his Bible, that he was always prepared. I think he was prepared on Wednesday too. I will always carry him in my heart, not only for his words, but I'll praise God over the man he was and the indelible mark he made on my heart.
Thank you, Sandra. Love, that was, he would tell you, I love you. I think people heard that, I love you. Yeah. Greg?
Well, I spent some time writing out what I was going to say, but I'm going to put that to the side. I'll use it as an outline. But I'm a pretty young Christian. I've been a Christian 4 years, and joined this. Left this church, I won't go through the long story, but I came here to get fed, spiritually fed, hungry for the word. And gluttony is a sin. I'm guilty of getting overly fed here. And Dr. Bryant was a big source of that. I met him at before I joined, as was here as a visitor, and I started going to his Hosea class on Wednesday nights there last summer. Just one teaching. And I was there every time since, and I'm one of the guys that came here to continue his teaching. So he became a mentor, and I'm searching my way on my Christian walk and how to serve God, and the relationship between him and Ruby was starting to broaden and blossom. So it was devastating for me on a number of fronts, personally and also. A spiritual level. I found out about it at the day of the surgery. I went down to the hospital and prayed. Some others of you were there. And I also wanted to try to give some comfort to the family. Well, Ruby had said she was looking forward to introducing me to their sons. And I got to meet Scott and Kurt that day. And we shared testimonies. And at the end of the day, exchanged Facebook information. And I friended them. Well, the way I found out, I was going about my routine on Thursday morning and checked Facebook. And if you're familiar with Facebook, these people's posts scroll by. Kurt's was right at the top. And as I started to read it, I was getting close to Father's Day first, because everything I heard, he was doing fine and getting better. I was looking forward to him being healed and carrying on our conversations. So I thought it was like a tribute to his father, you know. And then I started seeing some past tense in there. But I want to share that with you, because there's one word in there that stands out that other people have alluded to. And this is what Kurt posted. He said, my father, Dr. James Bryant, makes a profound imprint on my life. He lived an abundant life in Christ, led many people to Christ, loved and lived the Word of God. He loved his family and God's love from the heart. Thank you, God, for his legacy. He just can't lavish so much love on his son. And he doesn't miss you desperately. Goodbye, Dad. So, that word imprint, everybody's talked about it. He made an imprint on everybody I came in contact with. Yeah, I told you, I was devastated. My first thoughts went out to Ruby and family. And then I guess it's natural. I started having my own pity party about my spiritual walk and how I was going to be affected. And after a while, I started kind of feeling guilty about that. You know, that we all know where he is right now. He's in the glory of God. And that's a great thing. And it's always hard for those left behind. And for my personal walk, one of the hardest parts is sometimes when we go through trials and tribulations, is taking joy in trials. And this is a sort of trial. And James 1, 2 to 4 came to mind. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that testing your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 8 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, I had a group that I called, some friends that met the Bryans on the barbecue that I had, and asked them for prayer during the surgery. And when I do that, I feel obligated to give praise reports and give them updates, and I had been doing that. So, sat down to write this letter, and decided to write a prayer in giving thanks. So if you feel led, you can join me in this. Dear Lord, I give thanks to you for imagining and creating Dr. Bryant. I give thanks to you for giving Dr. Bryant a long and fruitful life. I give thanks to you, Lord, for giving Dr. Bryant an obedient and faithful heart to serve you. I give thanks, Lord, for crossing my path with his. I give thanks to you for providing me with a mentor such as Dr. Bryant. Though the mentorship was far too short a time, it shall live on in your spirit. I give thanks for the first words Dr. Bryant heard in your presence. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. I give thanks for the promises in your word that give strength and comfort to those of us left behind, especially Dr. Bryant's family. I give thanks, Lord, for the promise of a joyous reunion of all true believers in your presence at your appointed time. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray.
Charles, are you allowed to use the steps?
Yeah.
As many of you know, I was a day ahead of Dr. Bryant in my surgery. They went a little bit deeper into his heart. And on Tuesday evening, he and I had a pretty long conversation. During the earlier process, Gail and Ruby kept in contact. And so I kept watching Jim as his progress and my progress were just right along. He was a day behind me. When Gail told me that he had passed away, it literally took my breath away. I'd been down at the neighbor's house, and as we were getting in the car, I just couldn't believe it. But I've asked God, I said, by him, not me. And he told me, Psalms 139, 16, he also told me that his work on earth is done. Apparently not, it's not. But it also reminded me of when my father passed away. I said, compared to eternity, it will be just a short time before we are reunited with God.
Just as somebody said here, God always has somebody to enter into the shoes that somebody else left. when I came to this church in 1987, I was so impressed with the church. The first time I entered that church, I met Dr. Christopher. And many of us from different countries who were here at the Criswell College, when we went to church and we were being introduced, and they asked us where we came from. When anybody said, I am from such and such a country, Dr. Criswell said, I was there.
Yeah.
When I talked about my own country, Cameroon, I never knew anybody would ever say of being there. Dr. Criswell stood up and said, I was there. I was wondering what time was the man. Everywhere in the world he says he was there. And that comforted me that I am here in the midst of people who know where I am from. And they would be more intimate with me because they know where I came from. And after that I joined the class. Of a Sunday school class which was over here. And my friend, Dr. Keith Eitel, was the teacher. And he is one with whom I was in my country. We went places together for evangelism. We taught together in the same theological school. And I said, oh, I'm so impressed that I will be here with somebody who knows even my house. He knows my mom. He knows all my friends in my country. But soon, he left, and I also left for Memphis. And when I came back, I did not go back to that class anymore. I came to the Magnolia Bible class. And the way he handled his lessons impressed me so much. And I thought he would be here forever, and I would see him under his feet. But soon, he left, and soon he passed away. And my thoughts were, who again will go into those shoes? And Richard Wells came on. And I thought this will be the man. But soon again he was gone. And here comes Dr. Bryan. And his own method of teaching so impressed me that when I sat down there, it was as if I was a student at the college again. And I enjoyed him, and I just trusted him. And for me, there was a manuscript, a book, that was what I was working on for years. And I just trusted him so much that I went to him and said, Dr. Bryan, I've been writing this manuscript for this book that I want to publish. And I wrote some of it, which was being used by the pastors for leadership training in my country. And I want to expand on it. Can you help me to read this manuscript? And he was so good to say, oh, bring it to me. And I brought this manuscript to Dr. Bryant. And he read all of it through and made suggestions, made corrections. And as a word of encouragement, he said, the introduction you have made is the best I've ever read in that field.
Yeah.
And when you are ready to publish it, come see me. And I will tell you who can be a good publisher for you. And I've been thinking of when to go see him again so that we can talk about that. But unfortunately, on Wednesday, as my wife just said, she was in the farm somewhere on her way home. And I was getting ready to go to work, and she calls me to say, I am shaking here in the farm. And I said, what is going on? And she started a story from where I did not know where she was going. And she went round and came to the point to say, you know, Dr. Bryant is gone. I almost fell off my chair. This is a man I so confided in. This is a man whom I look up to as a mentor, as my teacher. But now he is gone. But yet, while I begin to think again on what to do, I still know that we are in good hands, because the same God of yesterday is still the God of today. And he has some other person who will step here to teach us the word of God as Dr. Bryant did. The next teacher may have a different approach to the way of teaching the class, but yet this will be God's man, and God will bring somebody who will lead our class in teaching. So I want to thank this class. I want to thank God for Dr. Bryant, and we all will continue to think about him. He is in our memory. We will always think about him and remember all that he has put in our minds about the Word of God. He was an all-round teacher. When we talked of Christianity, history of Christianity, he knew it best. When we went into exposition, he knew it best. When we went into studying the Old Testament, he knew it best. Coming to the New Testament, he knew it best. He knew almost everything. But I just love him so much. Thank you for allowing me to share this.
Thank you. Back at that time, one more. Dr. Barry, you're off the hook.
I'll be very brief.
I was giving much thought to the memory of this man called James Bryant. And I asked myself, who was this man? And then I answered my own question. He was a good gift. A good gift. And it reminded me of a song which goes like this. We plow the fields and scatter the good seed or the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter and the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, and the soft, refreshing air. When Dr. Bryant spoke, it was like the soft, refreshing rain. And the chorus of this song says, all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for all his love. I thank God today for Dr. James Bryant, who was a good gift. And by the way, he settled his account with his Maker. There's nothing to pay now. He had a prepaid ticket. And he is with his Master. Thank you, Dr. Brown.
Well, I said last, but you know, then I will wear shield. Didn't pay attention to anyway.
Well, I got up the same time he did, but I was farther away. I wanted to just talk about Dr. Bryant's love. His love for the Lord. His love for this class. His love for each individual, I was, and of course his family. But when you even looked at him, his face showed love. Always a smile on his face. unless I got up. But my experience with getting the news was just like y'all's, just overcome with shock and surprise. But as soon as I was able to get over that initial shock, and will never get over the shock, I thought, I've got to call Jed. And I no sooner got it out of my mouth, I thought, no, Jed already knows. And that's part of going to heaven, not only seeing Jesus, meeting with God, but like this Jed said, he's going to have to apologize to Jesus because he wanted to see Jay first. But imagine Dr. Bryan getting there, and he may have to apologize to Jesus because he may have wanted to see Dr. Crystal first. I don't know about that. But anyway, I like to think about them being there, enjoying where they are and each other. But what he's left us with, the main thing, as I thought about what everybody has said, and we all agree with everything that's been said, but it's that love that drew us closer and closer to the Lord and to Him. And I can't even think, it never entered my mind that someone would leave just because Dr. Bryant isn't here. And as much as we love him, we're just more thankful to the Lord for allowing him to be a part of our lives and to show us what we're supposed to be. And, you know, this class was built on love. It's the remnant of what they used to call the auditorium class. And Zig Ziglar was the teacher. He had a huge class. Well, the time came when that couldn't be any longer. And various people went their various ways. But the remnant came here for this very room. And Dr. Charles McLaughlin, who had been state missions director, came to be the teacher. And I remember how, I don't know if it was the very first Sunday, we weren't in the class at that time, but he began to bring a huge platter, mountainous, filled with pastries. And every Sunday, he brought that. And that started our eating and enjoying the fellowship and built the love that is so prevalent and so known about our class today. And our class will be here because of our love for the Lord that the teachers through our history have shown to us, and especially Dr. Bryant. And so we live in that legacy of love for each other, for the Lord, and thank you, Lord.
Well said. Well, now you really put the phrase on there. Very nice. We appreciate that so much. I see. We got that one. We're going to end up here. I'll just update you on the prayer list. Charles is here. We've already heard from him. Melvin and Arlene are not here today. I talked to him yesterday. Melvin's going to have rotator surgery.